Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the phone with me for this segment, I have Barbara Kahn, professor of marketing at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. She is an internationally recognized scholar on retail brand loyalty and consumer decision making. Thank you for joining me today, Barbara. Appreciate it.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
First of all, tell us why you became so interested in retail and the whole consumer process.
Well, I've been a marketing professor for many, many years, and so I've always been interested in how consumers make decisions. But in the last decade or so, I've really been interested in the retail industry because it's been going through such massive transformation.
Now, Amazon can be thought of as the 21st century version of Sears, which, of course, offered a catalog and phone orders and deliveries, also offered at-home shopping convenience. But Sears, of course, has undergone some rough times recently. They did not devastate the competition the same way Amazon has. What's the difference?
Yeah, Sears was an interesting retailer, was once a great retailer, now is certainly struggling. But what was did a long time ago that was so innovative at the time was come up with a Sears catalog so that people could order and have it directly shipped to home. But of course, when Sears was doing it, it took weeks to get the product, and that's not at all what's happening today with Amazon. And Amazon is now focusing on making shopping as easy and as painless and as simple as possible. And with that kind of strategy, they've really come to dominate the market.
With the way things are going, will Amazon eventually control the lion's share of retail? And if so, what will that mean to consumers?
Well, I mean, people are watching this Amazon as it goes into more and more. It's called the Everything Store, and now it sells more than just everything. It's going into healthcare, financial services, all sorts of different things. It doesn't have a large share in any particular product category, but it does have a large share of the American public. Jeff Bezos announced 100 million people were Amazon Prime subscribers, and that some reports say almost up to 60 or 63% of American households are shopping on Amazon. So while it doesn't have a lion's share in any particular category, it certainly is catering to a large share of American citizenship.
And with Amazon becoming bigger and bigger and more people using it, what does that mean to consumers?
Well, I mean, one of the things Amazon's been doing, and consumers seem to be very happy with Amazon, is they make shopping easy, and they also offer low price.
Your book talks about four strategies in what you call a retail success matrix, strategies used by businesses not only just to survive, but to thrive in the age of Amazon. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so one of the purposes of my book was to try to put structure on the retailers who are succeeding. And it's not just Amazon. Other retailers are doing fairly well, too, like Walmart, TJ Maxx, the luxury companies are doing well. And so I was trying to put together some kind of matrix so that you could see what worked and what didn't work. And when I looked at old matrices or old frameworks for retailing, they pretty much focused on product. A good retailer was called a good merchant, was really good at merchandising, creating a good product assortment. And a good retailer was good at operations, supply, logistics, controlling inventory, things like that. And what I decided was what was missing from these old retail frameworks was really good marketing concepts. And so really my framework is based on, one, the principle of customer value. So a good retailer is going to give customers what they want. And what is it that they want? They want a product that, or the product benefits, and they want to deal with a retailer they trust, which I call customer experience. So in my matrix, the columns of the matrix are product benefits and customer experience. And then the rows of my matrix, and it's a 2x2 matrix, is customers will also buy from retailers who do it better than others. And the way a retailer can make it better is if they increase pleasure or reduce pain. And so those are the rows and columns of my matrix. And that develops into four quadrants. And the first quadrant is product benefit, so increased pleasure at the product level. And what I would argue is those are the retailers that are really delivering on brand. So that's the luxury brand retailers, or Zara, or Nike, or Saks that delivers branded products. The other one is the increased pleasure from the customer experience. That's going to be physical retailing that really creates really wonderful customer experiences. And the examples that I have there are Sephora or Eataly. Then on the bottom row is remove pain. Well, the pain in product is price. So you see a lot of retailers who succeed by giving you really low price. That'd be TJ Maxx, Walmart, Costco. And then the remove the pain from the customer experience quadrant, that's what Amazon is doing. Removing any kind of friction, making it very easy to shop, giving customers what they want when they want it. And those are the four quadrants.
How likely are these retailers, such as Walmart and Costco, likely to hold on to their success, say, instant gratification versus ease of online shopping?
Yeah, right. So although Amazon has made shopping very easy, it is shopping online. And I don't think any retail analysts, and not I either, are arguing that physical stores are going to go away. There's a lot of reasons why people like to go into the physical store. One, as you just mentioned, is that they want to buy it immediately. They don't want to wait even 2 hours. The other reason is people like to touch and feel products, or they like to see it in person, that kind of thing. And then also the social interaction or the entertainment value of shopping. So physical stores are definitely here to stay, but they are going to change. Consumers won't go to a store that doesn't offer some kind of positive benefit. And so the ones that you're seeing close, like Toys R Us or Circuit City or Borders, they just didn't offer any kind of benefit over and above shopping online.
The new generation is more technically savvy. How are they likely to figure into the future of retail?
Well, they're definitely these digitally native consumers. The younger millennials, or what people are calling Generation Z, definitely grew up with their phone in their hand, and they're very, very comfortable shopping online or shopping on the phone. But there is evidence that they too still go into stores. They probably don't go into stores as much, when they go into stores, they're much more comfortable using their phone in conjunction with their shopping. So they may go into the store, look at the product, and then just order it on their phone. But what we do know about these new consumers is they expect a seamless experience across all channels. So they expect to be able to go into the store and then look on their phone to see the website or to see an app that relates to the store. And any retailer who doesn't have that seamless integration across all the channels, that's going to be a liability in the future.
With more retail shopping taking place online, what's the future of shopping malls and downtown shopping districts?
Well, what we're seeing is shopping centers and malls are categorized by A, B, C, where A is the best and C are the worst. And what we're seeing is the B and C malls, a lot of those malls are closing. The stores are closing, the department stores that anchor it are closing, and then all the little stores that depend on that anchor store, they're closing as well. But the really good malls, what we call the A malls, those seem to be doing very well, and they are attracting traffic. Again, because people like the experience of going shopping when it's done well. You know, people predicted that when TV came along, nobody would go to the movies anymore. And, of course, that's not true either. The people like to have fun experiences. So really nice, thriving downtown retail areas or A malls, they're doing pretty well.
Okay, Barbara, tell us the name of your book and where can we find it?
It's called The Shopping Revolution. And it's sold on Amazon, or you can go online and just search for The Shopping Revolution, and it'll come up at Wharton Digital Press.
Of course, it would be available on Amazon, just like everything else, huh?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, Barbara Kahn, professor of marketing at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania, an internationally recognized scholar on retail, brand loyalty, and consumer decision-making. Thanks once again for joining me today, Barbara. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for talking with me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.